Hey, welcome to the Circuit Rider Podcast. I'm Nick Brandt, and I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders, and it is amazing to see how God is growing this missional community, both here and around the world. We have gotten so many testimonies of how this podcast has revived people's faith, empowered them into their purpose, and led them into a place of personal freedom. And right now, as the Circuit Riders, we're in a season of expansion, and we need the help and support of our whole community, including you, to meet those needs. So if Circuit Riders has been a source of encouragement, life, or a blessing to you, we are asking that you would become a monthly giver. Something powerful takes place when we move from just a place of receiving to taking personal responsibility in becoming a participant by giving. If you're ready to give, you can donate now at www.circuitriders.com/donate. Again, thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast. So isn't it amazing is that in God's kingdom, that if you want to advance with him and the plan that he has for your life, you actually need to have meekness and understanding of yourself, of your limitations. God isn't necessarily looking for the most confident and talented person. He's looking for the most yielded person. Right? Because it's not your kingdom, it's God's kingdom. And if he's going to trust you with God's kingdom here on earth, he has to know that he can hand you resources, that he can hand you influence, that he can hand you gifts and opportunities, and you're not going to grab it and run and think it was you. Are you tracking with me for a moment? Can we keep going? Let's look at some examples. Moses, Numbers 12:3. Moses was a significant figure in the Old Testament, right? He delivers the Egyptians from Israel. If you've never read that Bible story, you can watch The Prince of Egypt, but probably read the story of Exodus much better. Don't watch the new Russell Crowe deal. That's fake. All right, here we go. Numbers 12:3. Bless you, Russell. All right, but Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. Okay, so here's Moses, arguably one of the greatest spiritual leaders in all of the Bible, right? He literally is seeing the glory of God tangibly fill the temple. He's actually been on top of a mountaintop and seen the glory of God, and his prayer room set was so crazy that when he came down the mountain, his face was radiant and shining. What is qualifying him for that kind of relationship? Meekness. And here is the exact heart of why the Lord has given you. Exodus 33:15. Look what Moses says. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. See, this is the essence of meekness. God, I don't want to go where you are not going. God, if you're not in my plans, it doesn't matter if it's my passion. God, if you're not going to be in this degree program, I don't want to be anything a part of it. God, if you're not going to be in this relationship, then I'm not going to pursue it. God, if you're not going to be in my future, then I don't want it. God, if you're not going to be in my mornings, then change the plan. God, if you're not going to be in my evenings, different ritual at night, different schedule at night. See, it's this sense in your heart that all of a sudden, when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to, God is, that meekness goes, you know what, it's not about my goals, what I can accomplish, who I'm going to be, but instead, God, where are you and how can I be there? Because can I tell you, who do you think is having a better dream about your life, you or God? I mean, think about it, you're pretty amazing just as you are right now, and God dreamed you up. I've never dreamed up as something cool as any of you. Because God doesn't dream selfishly. We typically dream about ourselves. Right? How much of your dreaming is like what I want? And God dreams unselfishly. God dreams out of a place of love for you and a place of perfect clarity. And so when you're starting your year, you want to have this moment of saying, God, where you are is where I want to be. Can we look at another example? David. Now, David had a prophecy that he was going to become the king of Israel. Okay, so David, he though is a shepherd boy who kind of has
a knack for warfare, defeats Goliath, gets all this favor in the kingdom, is working for the current king, and the king knows the prophecy is that he's going to become the next king. And so what happens, though, is Saul gets jealous that David is one day going to be king, and Saul begins to hunt him down to try to kill him. And now David is in a moment in his life where all the prophecies has going to become king, but he's hiding with his best friends out in caves, trying to hold on to the promise. Now, have you ever been like persecuted by your boss, like someone been mad at you? I don't think any of your bosses, though, have like assembled a posse to hunt you down in death. And like you've had to go to Arizona hiding out in Airbnb hoping your boss is not going to find you. Right? David is in a really unique situation. And the inclination of when you're being oppressed like that is to go, I need to get out of this situation. I need to be done with this situation. I need to get rid of this guy. I need a new environment. But somehow David does not give up on the prophecy just because it's inconvenient in that moment. And look what happens. He has a moment where Saul, in search for him, comes to a cave that David is sleeping in with all of his mighty men in the very back, and they're camping in the very front. And Saul kind of goes back a little bit to take a nap separated from the troops, and look what happens. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish." Okay, so his best friends are going, dude, Saul's in there taking a nap. Go over there, kill him. Let's end this thing. Let's finish the battle. And look what happens to David. David gets swayed a little bit and he goes, "Then David crept up and unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe." But check this out. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. So what's happening here? David has an opportunity to get out of this moment, but he knows that not only was he prophesied to be king, but actually his boss, although he's gone crazy, was anointed by God. And he was before him, and Jesus was, and Samuel laid his hands on him and said, "Hey, you're the king right now. This is who you are. You're anointing." And he knows that just because he's acting bad, the anointing hasn't left. And he doesn't have the privilege of leaving the prophecy now that it's inconvenient. He doesn't have the privilege of leaving where God is, even when it's uncomfortable. See, it's not just, "God, I want to go where you are when it's easy." Sometimes it's, "God, I want to be where you are when it is still hard." See, you have to be, because God is willing to ask you hard things. God is not like a camp counselor. I mean, maybe if Jocko Willick was your camp counselor. Like God is seriously for your highest and for your best and is willing to ask you to do hard things. Right? Jesus had to die on the cross. And Jesus, one of his central teachings is that you would pick up your cross and that you would follow him. So this is why we get scared to pray at the beginning of the year. Because what if God tells you something that's going to be hard? Anyone ever go to that, avoid that prayer time because you know? Ever have this moment? I get this moment sometimes. I get the itch. I know that God is wanting to say something new. It's like the doorbell of your heart is going off and you know Jesus is out there. And for a while you're just like, I'm good. It's because you know that if you go over there, he's going to ask for more. He's going to ask for more surrender. He's going to ask for greater risk. He's going to ask you to take a step of so much faith that you're completely uncomfortable. He's not going to let you be in your comfort zone. And he's going to completely destroy all your plans that we're going to create a beautiful, comfortable, realistic, trending life forward that you can post on Instagram. He is going to show up to your door and he's going to Shanghai everything. And he's going to say, "Follow me and be led by the Spirit." Well, what does that mean that we're doing next week? Follow the Spirit. What are we doing next year? I'll talk to you about that when we get there. See, that's why sometimes there's this like, but meekness goes, "I know that desire in me to run away. I know that desire in me to run past God and do whatever I want," because we live in America. We have a lot of ability here. So, yeah, sometimes we go, God, what do you want when we're in a bind? But what God is looking for is when you're not in a bind. That's meekness. When you're not in trouble and life is so good and more money's coming to your bank account than you know what to do with and you have more friends and opportunity. In that moment, meekness is going, I'm not just saying yes because it's there. I'm not just going to say yes to all this opportunity. God, am I even supposed to do that? Sometimes meekness is shown even more to what we're saying no to than what we're saying yes to. See, as we mature with Jesus, Jesus is not just saying, hey, say yes to my call. He's saying, say no to things that are good, but not my good. Say no to things that are just straight up wrong. Get rid of compromise and come on over here. And what if you're like in a character building season? I was talking to someone the other day, and they're at a workplace, and just things aren't going as well as they want. They're not being advanced quick enough, And they're just trying to figure out what to do. And I'm like, well, maybe just leave. And he goes, God is not letting me leave. See, it's having the courage to say, you know what? I'm actually going to delay what I want. I'm just going to stick in what God wants and trust him that he's going to work it out. See, I think that for all of us, what God is inviting for us tonight is that we would have a moment and say, Jesus, okay, yes, it may be hard. Jesus, yes, it may be difficult. Jesus, but it's so much better than I could ever imagine. I'm going to quiet my ambitions, my heart, my emotions, and say, I want your life change in my life. Now, one of the things, though, is have you ever been believing for change in your life? Like really believing, like there's a time in my life that everything is going to change. Like a big belief, like I like to give like declarative statements sometimes. Like I'm a big dreamer, so I'll come in the kitchen and be like, God is gonna pour out revival, babe. When? It's coming. Right? How many of you are like, you're like big, like it's coming in the future declares? I'm gonna get in shape one of these days. Let's go. Right? You know what? I'm gonna go get that real estate license. Oh, I'm gonna go talk to that person about Jesus. I'm gonna join a church soon. I'm gonna lead out. But it's coming, you know, God's going to move in my school, when? And see, one of the things that happens is that it's so easy to believe that something is coming, but sometimes so hard to recognize when it's here. And I think that that is where we get stuck. Like, we get to the willingness moment, and you're like, dude, I'm willing to hear what God is doing, but God is here, and you're not able to perceive it. How many of you have, like, I went to pray what God wants for me this year, and I heard nothing? Any, like, blank screen types besides me? Like, you buy the nice journal, you're by the beach, you're listening to Lindy, you bought a $40 pen, you didn't need it, but you felt it would inspire you, right? You bought AirPod Max so you get the noise canceling feature, right? You bought the Tommy Bahama chair at Costco for extra comfort, got a nice jacket on, sitting there at the beach, and you're like, Lord, your servant is here, I am waiting. Right, you either come back from that and you're just tremendously discouraged. Like, what happened? Nothing. God has no purpose for my life, apparently. Or you come back kind of like good Christian mode. How was your time? Powerful. I can't get into it right now. I'm in a process. It's because the way that the kingdom moves and the way that God reveals his plan is not always how you think. Amen. See, sometimes we want like a big billboard, do this. Do this. And that happens once in a while, but so much of the time it's the still small voice. And it doesn't come when we want it to come. And it's not on our time schedule. Meekness goes, I'm not moving forward until I have the word. Meekness said, I went to the beach, I heard nothing. I can't wait to go again tomorrow. Meekness says, I'll wait till next month or the month after that. I'm in no hurry. I'll wait all year if I have to, because I'm not going forward with my life until I know that the presence of God is going with me. Now, there's an interesting story. It's John the Baptist. John the Baptist is like this prophet in Israel who's announcing that Jesus is coming. And his ministry is so dynamic that cities are literally emptying out to come and hear him. He's baptizing, he's preaching repentance, and he's a really confident, a bit abrasive, a bit of a troublemaker. He wears camel skin. He's eating locusts and bugs and raw honey. So he's probably got some dreads going on. I'm not sure. I don't think cleanliness is his top priority. More just a wild man type of atmosphere. So I want to give you a clip of this is him preaching. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make a straight paths for him." Okay, so here's John, and he's preaching, "Hey, there's one coming after me, right? I'm baptizing you for the forgiveness of sins in the river, but he's coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm making the way straight because the kingdom is coming. The king is coming to bring that kingdom. Get ready." But a few chapters later in Matthew 11, he's completely confused and wondering if he got his entire message wrong. Let's look at it. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we be looking for someone else?" Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." And he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." How do you go from confidently in the wilderness, emptying out towns that the kingdom of heaven is near, and now doubting if it's near at all and that Jesus may not be the king of that kingdom? How does he go confused? I mean, this is one of the most spiritual men in all the scriptures. It's because he misunderstood how the kingdom operates. He didn't understand that Jesus was coming to operate in meekness. Right? He thinks that Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come. He's going to form a militaristic power. He's going to overthrow their oppressors, the Roman Empire, and that they're going to free Israel and that they're all going to go on and be able to worship freely. And instead, Jesus is traveling, healing the sick, being followed around by 12 ordinary men, casting out demons, raising from the dead, and he's confused because the kingdom looked different than he was thinking. What illustrates this so perfectly is a few verses later in Matthew 11, 12, it says, "From the time of John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcibly advancing and violent people are attacking it." See, there's this dichotomy in the kingdom that the kingdom of God is moving forward forcefully. But just because it's forcefully does not mean it's always loud. Catch that. Just because the kingdom of God is moving forcefully does not mean that God is always leading that forceful kingdom with a loud, booming voice. He's leading it with meekness. See, so much of the time, see, check this out. Jesus is, we're in a hurry. Jesus, we got to save our generation. Jesus, we got to get here. I got to do this. I got to accomplish this. And Jesus is meek. Jesus is going, "Hey, I'm so excited about you winning your generation for Jesus, but you need to get rooted in me. I know that, Jesus, I know. I need to get rooted. I know, Monday nights, I made that commitment. I'm going to go to the greenhouse." He's like, "Oh, good." He's like, hey, you got to learn to love. You got to learn to love those around you. See, so much of the calling that we have in our life is that we're actually being called to conform to look like Christ. Not being conformed to do a lot of really cool things. And so if you go to meekness, Jesus is not in a hurry just to kick you out the door and make sure that you're living an epic life to the worldly standards. He's more concerned, are you living within my kingdom and are you looking like me? See, I don't care who comes to Monday nights. I mean, I care about you. I love you. All right. But what I mean is I'm not trying to grow something here. Right? The reason why we come to Monday nights is we want to minister to the Lord. We want to minister to Jesus. We want to put a stake in the ground in our life and say, Jesus, our life revolves around you. You have the center place. And sometimes what Jesus has to say for your year is grow in me. He's like, well, what do I do? How do I advance? Just keep going, pay your bills, but give your energy to becoming like me. Can you imagine if for 2023 you only had one goal and one goal only? To love others as radically as Jesus presents love in the New Testament. And to build a deep relationship with Jesus that you enjoyed being with him more than you enjoyed being with your phone. What would happen if you go, this year, Jesus, I want to fall so in love with you that I hate distraction and I look forward to getting up in the morning to be with you? What if that was your goal? But sometimes we're so focused, I got to move my life forward, and Jesus trying to align our life saying, dude, you're going to move forward, but what's the point of moving forward if you're not rooted in me? California, we just live in like, this is Hustleville, right? Everything is about hustle. Every advice is about hustle, right? How many of you have seen these guys on TikTok? It was up at 4 a.m. I drank 18 gallons of water. I had a protein shake. I took special vitamins from an ancient Near East country I can't even say. Right? He's like, okay, wow. I went to the gym. I worked out for an hour. I left that gym. I went to a workout class. I worked out for an hour. 6 a.m. I got on my email. I sold two houses. I'm not even a real estate agent. 7 a.m. I traded options at 7 a.m. Lost all the money I made at 6 a.m. 9 a.m., started a drop shipping business. 10 a.m., lost all my money. No, it's just like, right? It's like everything you're seeing is you can be more, you can have it all right now. Get there, get there, get there, get there, get there, get there. What are you doing? Get out of there. What are you're in the matrix, man. Break out of the matrix. If you just do this and this and this, you'll be a millionaire. You can have a Bugatti. I'm crazy. Look at my Bugatti, right? It's all over everything we watch, every single moment. But it's the cadence of the world, and it's not meekness. It's I want what I want. How can I get it? Because if I get it, then I'll be meaningful, and then I'll be somebody, and then I can move forward. And it's a completely different wavelength. And if you're sitting on the beach with your nice pen, your special journal, and your AirPod Maxes, listening to Lindy, and you're in that mindset, you can't even hear the Lord. You're asking the wrong question. God, how can I get what I want so I can accomplish things and be cool? And God is going, how can you shut that down and trade in the things of the world to what the world will think is foolish? And listen to my countercultural advice to grow in character. And to grow in the kingdom. See, with the kingdom, in that's where there's peace. See, why is alignment so important? Because sometimes it's weird. It's like we have this sense, like the Lord is giving, when you're a believer, the Lord gives you this sense to whether you're in alignment or not. And a big way that you can know if you're in alignment is, do you have peace or do you have anxiety? Anxiety is always a factor that you're not in alignment. So if you're anxious all the time, you're out of alignment. You might be alignment in your attitude, alignment in where God wants you. I don't know what it is, but there's some kind of alignment. We'll get into it in a moment. There's an alignment saying, Jesus, I need to come to where you are. And when you are in alignment, there is a grace. How many ever tried to accomplish something great on your own? It's just hard, lonely, and sucks. Anyone else besides me? Anyone else have to do it so many times that you hate doing it and keep doing it? You don't know why you keep doing it? Anyone stubborn like me? No one. Okay, perfect. See, what God wants from us is to have this heart that says, God, if I choose it, you will give me the grace to do it. If he's saying he wants more of your heart this year, he's not asking something he's not going to give you the grace to do. Man, what if your life this year is so boring, nothing cool is on Instagram? You can't post one picture of how boring it is. Because on the outside, there's not a lot of things that aren't ordinary. But on the inside, God is building such a deep man or woman of God. And God, if you could look on the inside, you're exploding with joy. and you're at your work and you go, I hated my work, but now I love everyone like crazy. And I pray for everyone every night and I can't get them out of my head. And I'm taking them all to lunch and I've led two of them to Jesus already. See, this is the upside down kingdom. The second thing of, I think, why John the Baptist was confused was not just because the kingdom was coming in a different way, had different priorities, is that his life was still difficult. He was in prison. And he's going, hey, because bad things are happening, does that mean that God is not with me? How many of you know that when you come to Jesus, bad things don't stop happening? The bonus is that the God of the universe is with you when bad things are happening. And he goes, the worst thing happened to me, so I can relate. Let's get through this together. And I'm going to teach you about me in it and redeem it so that it becomes good for you. How does that even happen? It's a mystery. And so just because God is going to come speak to something new, don't just avoid things that are hard. Maybe he's not going to change everything. Don't wait for everything to get easy to get to God. That's all the more to say, Jesus, I'm ready for you right now where I am. So can we do this? This is how I want to begin to land the plane. Are you catching this principle of meekness? Isn't it kind of backwards? So Nick, you're like telling me I need to humble myself more and dream less and wait for God to tell me what he wants from the scripture and from his Holy Spirit and do that, and that's how I'd be successful in 2023? Yes. Everyone say yes.
Yes.
Okay, so this was the first question. We're gonna pretend I'm bringing you to my dad's living room for a moment, and we're gonna ask some of these questions. Here is the first question he would ask. He'd ask two questions. Number one, Jesus, are we aligned in heart with you? Isn't that funny? We always want to go, ask, Lord, am I where I need to be? And that's the wrong question to start off with. Jesus, is my heart aligned with you? Because the right heart lets you see the right thing. Matthew 6:33, I already said it. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Let's look at some ways. I want you to be thinking about this. Just Holy Spirit, right now, literally as I begin to say some of these things, I pray that you would bring them to mind so that our hearts can align to yours. Okay, here's the first thing about your heart. Is the priorities of your life aligned to his heart? Is your life centered around the presence of God, the word of the Lord, and the Bible? So when you really look at your life last year, this year, could you say, if I put a Holy Spirit lie detector test on you right now, you couldn't lie, couldn't wax eloquent on it, could you say that, Jesus, I have put your presence, worship, prayer, the word at the center of my life? If it's not been, boom, there's your first goal for 2023. And the only goal, if you don't do that one. If you can get to one, that is the goal. Number two. Let me speak this really quick. This is not just about duty. This is about your heart becoming alive. You can be in a moment of worship like tonight and your heart be dead. How many of you have been there before? Right? It's a fight to keep the love burning. So it's not just that, okay, Lord, I'm going to ritually come to you. And I'm going to open my Bible every morning, get my two chapters in. I'm going to journal. I'm going to go to Greenhouse. I'm going to worship and pray. I'm going to pray with my friends on Tuesday night. Is that your heart would be alive in it. Is that you're not going through the motions, not that you're doing your responsibilities out of an empty tank in fumes, but that your heart is aligned in such a way that you become alive. So let me change that. Is your heart centered and alive around the presence of God through prayer, worship, and the Bible? Number two, is the desire of your heart aligned with Jesus? Are there chronic habitual sins, addictions, attitudes? We always go like to always sexual sin when we say this every single time. And you need to nuke that out of your life ASAP, for sure. This year, man, wouldn't it be awesome? In all honesty, if all you did this year for the rest of your life was got close to Jesus and your heart was on fire and you stopped and broke your addiction to pornography for the rest of your life, that would be one of the best lives that you would have after that year that you could ever imagine. Right? What's the point of doing a bunch of stuff and your life is in compromise? Do you see what I'm getting at? God is after your heart, not just after doing stuff, right? What about gossip? What if God's like, hey, this year, don't talk bad about anyone? Well, God, I have whole friend groups, and what we do is we get together and we have tea time. What's the tea? And God's like, no tea this year. Water fast, all right? And what if it gets awkward for a while? Because every time you come, all you talk about is the drama at work. And you're sitting there, you're like, I don't even know what to say anymore. How are you? Good. I mean, last night, I mean, never mind. Great night last night. Right? What are those habitual things that you need to get rid of? Criticism. What about criticism of yourself? What about unauthorized condemnation of yourself? What about religious beat down internal language where you beat yourself up in your mind all year about how you're not good enough, and instead you took a diet from your condemnation and you go, I'm going on the son or the daughter diet for 1 year. I'm just a son. Jesus is leading me. The Father loves me. I am forgiven, and I'm skipping condemnation for the next year. Right? These are the things God is after, because, right, if you're condemned, you're not thinking about what God's thinking about. You're not going to have clarity about being a missionary somewhere. You're just going to be condemned, trying to get out of it. What are those desires in your life that you need to break? Can I say a couple that are a little bit more wild? Some of you need to quit drinking. Drinking alcohol is what I mean. We live in California. I know everyone's an angel in here. This is for the live stream. But here's the thing. God says, I don't want you to go crazy anymore. I want you, you don't need to be drunk to feel something. If you need substances to feel something or to distract you for something, that's just telling you, red alert, your spirit is not alive in Jesus. Maybe you're in religion. I don't know what you're in, but this year, it's not moderation. Come on, let's face it. That's not your gift. Retire. Retire. All year, you're done. Put the vape away. You don't need it. Why are you going to that? It's not going to fix your anxiety. Right? Hiding it all the time. Too many of you are laughing at this. I don't know what's going on around here. Right? Smoking weed. Sleeping around. Crossing boundaries. Playing the game. Clubbing. Partying. All this stuff. This is, Jesus is going, I'm after your heart. You want to know what to do? And he's like, I need your whole heart. First, I need your whole heart. Not because I'm controlling, but because those things are so much lesser, you'll never be alive. Come drink from my well. Come drink from my kingdom. Come get alive in me. Trust me, the presence of God. Oh, man, tonight, when the man, that last moment in worship, did you feel that? He's here. I'd rather be with him and be bored and not sin for moments like that, then be indulging myself and miss those moments, because when they come, I feel condemned. Right? How many moments have you spent this last year, the God moments going on, and all you can think about is what you did 2 weeks ago? This year, it's time to get rid of all those things so you can come to God with a clean conscience. 2023 goal, clean conscience. Like, this is intense. No, it's not, dude. It's joyful. It's joyful, man. Can we keep going for a moment? What about your relationships? Some of you need to not be friends with some people this year. I used to not say stuff like that, but now I'm like, no, for sure. Right? I'm going to evangelize them. No, you're not. They are evangelizing you, bro. That girl is not good for you. That boy is not good for you. And the best thing you can do is separate yourself from some people and say, I love you, but I'm not strong enough to be around you. Some of you need some new relationships. Some of you have been sitting in your room, scrolling, saying, I don't have any friends, but then you don't initiate with anybody. God, will you bring friends? He's like, go to Monday night. Talk to that person. And it's like, dude, they're right here. They're right there. Yeah, go for the dude that's going crazy in worship. And you're going crazy in worship. Probably good friends. Talk. What do I do? Just like, go have coffee? I don't know, dude. Sure, just do it. And just learn some social skills. Like, hey, man, like, what do you do? Cool, man. All right. Like, that's fine. That's most man talk anyway. Like, you know, like. Right? God is actually saying, get out there. You need community, not just friends. Who knows what's going on in your life besides your family? It's so quiet. I'm so sorry. I just want you to have a good 2023, right? Who's in your life that you're running with? I have guys, I'm not picking on them because I used to do it, but I am picking on them and I'm picking on myself. We live in community in Sugar, so we live in like community houses and all the people come down and they're like, I just have no friends here, man. And I'm like, you live with 20 people. No community, man. I'm in the desert season. I'm like, you're in a desert season? Yeah, your soulmate's not upstairs, okay? It's called inkling for marriage, but bro, like, get up there. Talk, like, you talked last night for 2.5 hours about Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Kobe being the best. I mean, and you didn't even take a breath, and we all listened. I don't even know what kind of better friend you could have. Relationships. What is God wants to align your heart for relationships. He wants you to walk away from some and walk towards others. And he wants to get rid, and you know what? While you're at it, just get rid of any bitterness from the last year. Don't make your life about running from the past. Don't make your life about reacting to the past. Quit carrying your past with you and build your future. Release them. Release them. Just start the year and just forgive and don't be stubborn. Get that voice out of your head and don't just forgive them. Bless them. Okay, so we're aligning our priorities. Our alive in Jesus, our heart alive in Jesus. We're aligning, right, our relationships, and we're aligning our attitudes, right, our desires. Okay, but now the second question, the last question tonight. And I think it's even hard. This is harder. Right, because aligning our heart is like we can pray and do stuff. It's this question. This is the dangerous question. It's saying, Jesus, are we aligned to the move of the Holy Spirit and the direction you're leading me in my life? In other words, is there any action you're asking me to take that I'm not taking? Right, because if I like forgiving other people, I'm like, Lord, I forgive Johnny. Man, feels so great for 2023. But like, Lord, is there any action I'm supposed to take? That's going to require some cost and going to require some change. So first deal with your heart and now say, Lord, are there any actions I'm supposed to take? Here's some bonus tips for you. Some of you are in a faithfulness rut. Everyone say faithfulness rut. Meaning you're going through the motions of doing something, but you feel stuck in your life. How many of you are doing the best you know, but you feel stuck in your life sometimes? Here's the thing. Fear will force you into a life that lies to you and says, only take action. I can speak, I promise. Action when it's safe or convenient. Jesus is going to ask you to take dangerous action that is inconvenient. If you feel stuck in your life, then you need to take radical and rapid, wild action. Action you don't feel qualified for. Can I tell you, if you signed up somewhere this year to lead a Bible study, it would change your life? I'm not ready to lead. I don't know the Bible. Dude, signing up for a Bible study would probably force you to learn the Bible, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would. And then you'd be like scared to death, getting diarrhea and all that. Pre-game. Pepto-Bismol going out there. Vomiting, all the nervousness. got the book of John, you're opening it up, and you actually start talking to four of your friends about Jesus, you'd realize you're good at it and figured out your calling. Right? Some of you just need to step out and actually apply for that job you know you're not qualified for. Some of you need to go to a leader and say, I know you don't know me, but can you mentor me? I just need to do something different. Show me how to do something different this year. Here's the last one. The last thing. There are some things in Scripture that are so clear that you don't need a prophetic word for. Okay, there are some things in Scripture so clear that you do not need a prophetic word for. You do not need a word to give one night of your week to go share the gospel with people who don't know Jesus. You don't need a word. You need zero confirmation. Jesus has confirmed it by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. Okay, I'm going to say this, and this may be controversial. You don't need a word to give your life for the Great Commission. You don't. Jesus, with a sense, says, go into all nations. And you're like, Lord, is that for me? Yes, who else is he speaking to? See, so many of us are waiting on this customized calling. We want God to be like a life coach. Well, I've analyzed your personality, your gifts, your confidence levels. And I've formatted a 3-year plan to usher you in a comfortable way to your calling. Which is Bible study leader, eventually you will be an associate pastor, for 2 years a senior pastor. You'll realize it's not for you and become an elder of the church and go on to be dearly loved. It's never coming. It's never happening. See, Jesus. See, some of you, this is you. It's worth it. Just wait. I'm messed up, man. Someone needs to fire me. All right, hold on. You're like, Jesus, you're at the beach. Whatever you'd have for me this year, Lord. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. Man, God. All right, Lord, well, show me what you want this year. If you're there, send me a sign right now, a dolphin in the water. Jesus has sent you a sign himself. If you want to align to your purpose in 2023, what if you did what you know you're already supposed to do? See, I think the action is clearer than we think. And I think his heart is more obvious to discern than we think. I think all of us know in our life the things that have to align. And tonight I wanted to give you courage to follow the simple path of Jesus, to have permission not to run in the way of the world, but to run after him. So here's what I do. Can we have the worship band come up? We're going to go into a moment of just like, man, we're just going to commit this year to Jesus. Right? We don't want to just have a year of like cool Monday nights with awesome talks and like, you know, like sermons and all that. That's awesome. We want our year to be full of Jesus. Right, I want it to be so hard to get everyone's attention because everyone's overflowing. You're coming in full. You're not coming to get full. You're like, I'm overflowing alive in Jesus. My prayer time last night, I'm just going crazy right now. God downloaded his heart for my whole family and started talking about my high school. Right, we want this year like dominated by testimonies of people getting saved in your workplace and on your campus. Wouldn't it be awesome if we go, hey guys, we gotta start doing like special reports on Monday night. Revival is breaking out at USC. Why? Because someone was bold enough to align their life with Jesus tonight and walk onto their campus and actually do what Jesus asked them to do. and believe that he would show up to help them do it. Right, this is the kind of alignment that we're after. Right now, we have 23 teams going to over 500 campuses, university campuses, all across America and Europe. That's cool for them, but what about you? What's the radical step of faith that you need to take? What is that radical place of alignment that you need to step into? I'm going to do a few awkward altar calls right now with no music. But if you want, you guys do whatever you got to do. I'm not controlling you. I'm just going to move without you until you come. All right. So first of all, tonight, there's some of you and you just need to surrender your life to Jesus. And that's the first step to your alignment. Is that maybe you've been half in or half out, or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, but tonight is the moment for you to make a public declaration that you are aligning your life to Jesus, whether you were walking with him before and you went astray, or whether you've never been with him before, you never walked with Jesus before, tonight you need to align your life with Jesus. So here's what I want to do. I'm not even going to have people close their eyes. I'm just going to pray for a second. Lord, we pray right now for every person that needs to give their life to you. Every person that they've been running away from you, tonight I just ask that you'd pour out your love on them. You're not calling them to a life, Lord, that's confined by religion. You're calling them into a relationship with you that will finally make them alive. So if that's you tonight and you feel like you need to go for a public moment of surrender, whether it's been 50-50 or you've been all out, I just want you to raise your hand on the count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Come on. So good. If tonight as I was preaching, there were some heart things that you go, my heart needs to be made alive in Jesus again. I've gotten dry. I've stopped pursuing him. I'm going through the motions, but I want to make the number one priority of my year, his presence. I want you to stand up on the count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3, if that's you. Come on. Come on. Tonight, if you know that you need to align, you can stay standing. If you know you need to align your life by walking away from some relationships or walking towards some, I want you to publicly declare by standing up when I count to three, that this is the year of real community and healthy community. And that's your 2023. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, I want you to stand up. Incredible. This is a bold one. But if you have been entertaining sin in your life and you know what it is, it can be gossip or something else. We're not judging you. We all got stuff, but you know that this is the year to break everything that is holding you back and condemning and walk in the light, to walk in holiness, to walk in a no compromise, full out following of Jesus in his, not just believing in him, but his lifestyle of holiness. I want you to stand up on the count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Stand up. Amazing. 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 Finally, we do two things. The first thing, if you want to commit yourself tonight to quit overthinking and jump into the work of the gospel, sharing the gospel on your campus, sharing the gospel at your work, making disciples around you, inviting people into your life so they can find and see Jesus, I just want you to stand up on the count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, just go ahead and stand up. Incredible. We have all these missionaries here tonight, and I just feel a sense from the Holy Spirit that some of you are maybe brand new and the Lord's speaking to you and you're in your journey, but some of you, I already have a sense that the Lord has been speaking to you about missions. At somewhere you had an inkling, you had an encounter, you had a dream, you can't get it off your mind. Maybe you looked online at some time, you thought about it. But you know that in the next 2 years, God is calling you into missions. Maybe you're realizing it as I'm saying it to you right now. That it's real. It's not just a dream. It's something that God is actually calling you into. He's calling you to take a season, to leave this place and to go somewhere and to be trained as a missionary and sent somewhere around the world. I feel tonight there's a public declaration that that is for you. And that you're saying, Jesus, you are saying that to me, and I'm publicly responding, admitting you're saying it to me, and I'm going to run after it. If that is you, I want you on the count of three to raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand if that's you. Amazing. Come on. Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, when we align our life to you, when we seek first the kingdom, you promise to take care of everything else. You promise to give us the grace to love you, to give us the grace to pursue you, to give us the grace to break off of sin, to give grace to pursue healthy community, the grace to preach the gospel and make disciples, the grace and the strength and the courage to give our life and leave where we're comfortable and to go to the nations. Lord, I pray you would honor every commitment tonight. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, give me grace to walk out everything I've committed to. Holy Spirit, change my desires. Change my wants. Jesus, I put you as the center and the goal of my 2023. Man, Jesus loves that. Lord, we thank you. We pray that as we just go into a moment of worship, and we go into a time of worship, Jesus, we just, that's how I want to end. We're going to go for 30 seconds of corporate prayer. And this is our prayer. Let your kingdom come in 2023 in Orange County. Are you ready? I want you to close your eyes. Put your attention on Jesus. Lift your hands to heaven. And I want you to begin to pray out loud, and we're going to go into worship. And I want this your prayer. Jesus, let your kingdom come to Orange County in 2023. Salvation, healing, signs and wonders. Ready? On the count of three, I want you to start praying. Ready? One, two, three. Pray. Come on, lift your voice. Let your kingdom come to Orange County in 2023. Come on, lift your voice. He wants to use you. Lord, use us to bring your kingdom to Orange County in 2023.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at circuitriders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.